For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
A mitzvah sometimes to have meat. Sometimes a meat. No, not Shabbos, interestingly enough. You're definitely, let me explain. When I say there's a mitzvah, there's two types of mitzvahs. There's called a mitzvah chiyuvis and a mitzvah kiyumis. A mitzvah chiyuvis means you have to do it. That's not what we're talking about, right? For example, a man has to wear tefillin, okay? Now, a mitzvah kiyumis means anytime you give tzedakah, you get the mitzvah, right? Anytime on a yontov, if you eat meat and wine, you fulfill a mitzvah. You honored Shabbos with meat, if that's your way, or you can honor it with fish, whatever it is, right, if you like it, right? Then you fulfill a mitzvah of of giving honor to it. That's not, so you got to make a very big distinction. When we say something's a mitzvah, it doesn't mean, right, and you fulfill a mitzvah, you get credit for it. So, but if you're not eating meat because of health reasons, again, you can't digest, that's fine, it's 100% kosher, that's great, it's even glot. However, if you're not in it because you think the hierarchy of the world's upside down and that animals, you have to be more compassionate than the all-compassionate one, you got yourself a big problem. Okay, and this is what proves right here. There's no difference between eating vegetation and eating animals. We both need a verse in the Torah for that to grant us permission. Now, we have Shabbos. Right, the first Shabbos, if you look up chapter 2, verse 3, Vayavarech Elokim es Yom HaShvi'i, Hashem blessed the seventh day, v'yakadosh oiso, He sanctified it, right? And from this verse, we have that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it, that this is what we say in Lecha Dodi, that it's the Makor HaBrocha, it is the source of blessing for the following week. Shabbos gives blessing to the whole next week. Kosh Baruch Hu blessed it, that's what it means. It became the source of blessing. And to that degree, a person keeps Shabbos. I say this in mystical books, that to that degree, a person keeps Shabbos. Not just halakhically, not just physically, but spiritually. It refrains, let's say, from talking about sports or politics and tries to learn as much or reflect on creation of the world, whatever it is, Just reflect why we're here, whatever it is. Spirit, to that degree, to keep Shabbos, to that degree, will the rest of the week, the blessing will flow over in the rest of the week in the materialistic realm as well. Okay, any questions on this? Doubt it. That Shabbos is the source of blessing for the rest of the week. To that degree, you keep Shabbos, not just the physical laws, but, try to get into it and mechabed it, to honor it, to that degree, the blessing will flow to the rest of the week. The people used to come to Chafetz Chaim and ask him for a bracha. Give me, that I'd be successful in business. Chafetz Chaim say, keep Shabbos. That's the makor of bracha. That's the ultimate source of bracha. You keep Shabbos, your business will be successful in the week.
A lot of religious people very poor.
Could be. I mean, they could be more poor if they didn't keep Shabbos, for all I know. They could be walking the streets, And it depends what you call poor. If you ask them, they may not say they're poor. It's what a person considers poor. One person's bread is another person's chocolate mousse pudding.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're right.
It's an interesting thing that the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one of his names is Shah, then Dai, right? Shin, Dal, and then Yud, right? Which means for Dai, Dayenu, Dai Dayenu, right? So, which means enough. That's a key word in the creation of the world because it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides the proper, enough, Dai, enough, limits, boundaries. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides the proper limits in creation, human resources, suffering, compassion, all these things, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides these limits. In other words, that word refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what we know as Hashkacha Pratis, his personal supervision over everything in the world. And it means also, like Rav Shula used to say, it's like a mystery movie. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sprinkled just enough clues in the world that you can figure who done it. On the other hand, he didn't make it too obvious where there's no free will element. The world is set up in such a fashion that a person can look at the world and realize it's impossible that this came by accident. There has to be a designer, right? Right? You have to be a bigger person of faith not to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world than a person that believes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because, I mean, how can you see everything has a design to it, right? It's like impossible to the millions of species of all these things and colors and the way the thing, the cycles of events. Okay. Or a person could say, coincidence, accident, you know, whatever it is. So that's the free will element, and that is represented by that name of Hashem. This also relates this idea of free will when Adam is created. The word that's used is Naaseh Adam. Now this is a tremendous Naaseh is a plural. Let us make man. All the heretics go. They love this. What? Now, dual. Triple headers. Whatever it is that they call that. It's not one God. Chalila. Let us. Who is like Shem Tagani? Let us make man. So Rashi tells us that to teach humility, Hashem consulted with his celestial court, the angels, whatever this means, right? They need to teach us humility. Many times the Torah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked down at Sodom. Why? Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu any more up than down than sideways? No, to teach a human judge to go down, investigate the matter before pronouncing judgment. Many examples of this. Amphemisms? Is that what it's called? I think there's a word for this. Amphemism, I think it's called. I'm not allowed to say words more than four letters. For those of you new in the class, I've been limited because of my upbringing in the plains of Texas. So this language, plural, what they say on it, even though it opens up a door for heresy, but to teach this valuable lesson of humility, Hashem says it's worth it. Whoever wishes to err, let them err. In other words, that's the wording. Whoever wishes to err, let them err. In other words, a person is really sincere and seeks the truth, he'll see it. And if one is looking for an excuse not to believe in God, right, he'll find it. That's the famous, I think it's the Kutzker Rebbe's boy. If a person's a mommy and if he believes, all the questions in the world ain't going to bother him. And if you don't believe, all the answers in the world ain't going to help. Right? If a person goes with a preset, I don't mean people that are questioning to understand. There are certain type of people that question just to knock, just to challenge, that they already have a preconceived notion and they're not interested in learning. In other words, not interested in knowing what is right. They're interested in proving that they are right.
Does what you just mean that Hashem gave the blueprint to the angels and they just carried out the game plan?
No, it does mean, I'll tell you one fascinating thing about Naaseh Adam, let us make man. It means that man is a microcosm of everything in creation. Every trait of every animal, vegetation, everything is embodied within the human person, the human being. Let us make man. All of us will make him. All of us will have a piece in him. That's what I mean, but and that has a profound significance in that why we can elevate, why Adam was made from Adama, ground, the earth, dirt, that we have the ability to raise the very, foundation, the very lowest element. It's interesting, the name Adam means Adama, ground, dirt, and it means Adama Kelion. I will try to be like God, right? From the lowest to the top, right? It's represented also in Yaakov's dream, a ladder. Mutzav Arza, and the Rosh Shemayimah. It's the ladder standing on the ground and the head of the ladder going into the sky. One of our purposes is to elevate creation. Elevate creation. Everything to physical. Oh, beautiful. Very good, Chana. Let us make man. Thank you very much. I forgot. Beautiful commentary. Let us make man me, God says, me and man will make man, because man is never complete. We're continually making ourselves. Right? Everything else, that's also true. Okay, that's also true, but, okay, the commentary I was going to tell you is that everything else, absolutely, absolutely. Okay, that's also true. But everything else has like an instinct. Animals basically don't have any free will. But the human being is the only person that it's still in debate. Like it doesn't say Kitov by the making of man. You know, it's still in debate. Is it going to be good or not? Let us make man. God and man make man. We have to continually make ourselves. Right? By the way, it's like fascinating. The way we look at things, the way the Torah looks at things are completely different. When we talk about this verse, chapter 1, verse 31, it says, "He named Tainoid." Kosh Baruch Hu saw that everything he did was very good. So the Medrash says on this, it usually says, Taiv, everything was good, Taiv, 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 Mud. A lot of commentaries, what does it mean, very good? That in totality, right? I think, Shifra, you were saying once something like this, that certain things can be good in themselves, but in connection with other things, it's very good. You know, they work in harmony. So it was kind of a little bit what you were saying, Hannah. You know, a person, male or female, by themselves, good, but together, working together is very good. Okay, so there's that. Everything in conjunction. Medrash says a fascinating thing. You know what's toiv noid? Death. I knew that would wake you guys up. Toiv noid, very good, that's death. Yetzer hara, that all that concept, that's very, why? It's very interesting. And this connects why the sin, you know, the sin, right, of Adam and Chava, you know, death comes in the world. Again, not so much as a punishment, but as a cause and effect. I'm going to tell you a fascinating insight, which everybody wants to know, how could they do it? Right? How could Chava do it? How could she eat the fruit? How could Adam eat it? You know, what's going on here? These were great, great people who knew the spiritual effects of a sin and a mitzvah more than anybody, right? So one commentary I saw was amazing, that Adam did it on purpose. That he saw subsequent generations would not be on his level. And if they lived to be immortal, no death, they would never properly use the time to build themselves up spiritually. They would just never take the time seriously. And you see that Taka, it was true. I mean, it was still a sin, don't get me wrong. But this is called a Havamina. His Havamina was very strong because you see that the lifespan of man was cut down to 120 years, God says, right? I think at the end of this parsha or the beginning of Noach. Why? Because when they're living 800, 900 years, they're not taking advantage of their time. They're not trying to perfect them spiritually. They're, you know, like you take your health for granted. They just exist. They're not taking it serious. Now that their lifespan is cut down, says the commentaries, I'm not going to be here forever. I better work on myself. I better build myself spiritually, right, for the next world. So that's like many of these great people, like, they have a similar thing about the sin of the golden calf, a similar thing about King David, the Gemara. This is the Gemara in tractate called Avodah Zarah. Anyway, it says that these people were not doing things, actions for themselves, which is, by the way, some of the discussion about the patriarchs and matriarchs. They did things because, being the root, the seed of the Jewish people, they were interested in our welfare. They could handle it. Adam and Chava could handle mortality. They were great. But they saw that we couldn't. The generation that built the golden calf, they were great. They didn't have a problem. They saw they had to open a door for tshuva. It's a big discussion. Right? To give future generations a chance. That if, like a precedent in a court, is there a precedent for this, that we can get this guy off? Right? Then now there's a precedent that here, a whole nation could commit such a sin and still be forgiven. That opened up like a certain door to tshuva for all generations, for all of Israel, to protect us. So many times these great people do things only because for our benefit. So, back to here. Tug miod, that's death. That the fact that a person will eventually die makes them take this life seriously and build it. I know it's a funny, you think about it, you know, it's hard for us to relate, but if you stop and think, if you're immortal, that is the tendency of a human being, to take things granted. We would never work on ourselves. Same way, a Kodesh Baruch Hu built into the system of a person that when he's hungry, or in marital things, right, that Kodesh Baruch Hu built in a desire for these things, because if it's not, it's that a person would never stop to eat, for example. He would just go out and do things, you know, right? Kodesh Baruch Hu built it that we have to eat for many reasons, to elevate creation, whatever it is, for many, many reasons. But death, too, for that purpose, that we take life seriously and build ourselves, that becomes something good.
So interesting, with that thinking that we've been reduced from like 900 years to 120 years, but now as the world has evolved, like 50 years ago, people were living longer than maybe the 40s or so. Now it's normal to live to maybe 80. So have we, you know, gotten better? I mean, from the, and now we're getting worse. Because
we need more time. I don't need more time. I don't know the answer to that question. Yes. There's a verse in Tehillim and King David's Psalm about 70 years, and a person's really a gibor, you know, strong. He's given 80 years. There is such a verse.
Some of the men have a second
time, that's at
the age of
80. Oh, right. Yeah, right. Okay. It's interesting. It says an author usually puts. You see this many times in the piyutim. In the, for example, certain things we say in L'cha Dodi and other things in our prayer service, that the initials of the author are written in the first three words or the first last words. Have you ever seen this? An acronym of their name is written there. Maybe authors do this. So Kadosh Baruch Hu also did this. Kadosh Baruch Hu's seal, if you will, is what? What's a seal? Chesed Moshal Kadosh Baruch Hu Emet. The seal of Kadosh Baruch Hu, his name is Truth. Emet. Okay? So, it's interesting, if you look at the first three words of the Torah, the last letters of those three words spell the word Emet. Not in sequence. Not in sequence. So that's interesting. Now, if you look at the end of creation with the Shabbos, when Shabbos came Menucha, came with tranquility, the world got its soul. Right? The world got its soul on Shabbos. So, chapter 2, verse 3, again repeats these three words, Bereshis bara Elokim, right? Except now it's written, Bara Elokim La'asois, and those last three words also spell the word Emet in the right sequence. The last three letters of those three words. Because now with Shabbos, everything was in place. I'm simplifying a very deep, deep mystical concept here, but that's basically it. The word that's used in chapter 2, verse 3, that Kodesh Baruch Hu built everything la'asois, to be done, that seems superfluous. It would seem almost redundant, like it's repeated over and over again. Someone caught it. Okay. So La'asas teaches us that this is the part where man is a partner in creation of God. Kodesh Baruch Hu created everything La'asas, to be done. We come, and that's one of the reasons, by the way, that you don't have fresh bread from the ground. You have to take it and do all the processes, right? What we call inventions are really rearrangements of the. We're just rediscovering things. If you look at Ecclesiastes, it says everything that was has been, everything has been, was, you know, it keeps saying all these things that confuse the heck out of us. But basically it means there's no new things in the world. Everything under the sun, nothing new. We just rearrange things. But this is part what God wants us to do. Is God wants us to be a partner with Him in creation. So all these things, they're used obviously for the right purposes, right? Computers, whatever it is. These are all part of the ongoing process of creation. that we are partners with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The other thing Asos tells us is very important. What does it mean that Hashem created to do that is even a loftier work than the actual creation of the world is the continual supervision over everything. Machadish B'tuva L'chol Yom Tam in Masa Bereishis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu renews creation every day, and He continually watches over it and guides everything. The histories of different nations, everything that goes on is all by Hashkachat Pratis, all by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's personal supervision of the world. So that's what they say. He's not like a watchmaker who makes the watch and then lets it run on its own. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is continually involved in the destiny of man, of the Jewish people, of the nations, of the world, of every one of us in our individual lives and what we're going through. Okay, questions? Only by man, does it say, chapter 2, verse 7, only by man, it says, by Yetzer, and that word is seems to be, again, spelled superfluously with an extra yud. That word is usually spelled with one yud, Vayetzer, which means to form. It's spelled here of two yuds. That only man was created with two Yetzers, inclinations. It also means to form, it also means inclination, a good inclination, an evil inclination. And that's what makes us great, because that's the concept of free will, that we voluntarily, so to speak, choose to anoint, to crown HaKadosh Baruch Hu as our king, and to do His will, and we have the ability not to. We have that, you know, evil inclination.
Which yes.
Chapter 2, verse 7. I'm sorry? Oh, there is something to what you're saying. I can't remember what it is. There is something to that. I think there is a connection. Yeah, there is. I can't remember what it is.
I don't know.
There is something to that. Very interesting. The Hebrew language, many times we talk about it, describes the essence of the thing. That was Adam's greatness, that he described, that he named the animals. Big deal. Who cares? He named the animals. He knew the essence, their mission, their whole tachlis, their whole purpose in creation. He named them by the name that describes that essence of what they're supposed to be. Every Hebrew word's like that. The word, for example, shamayim. Right? Shamayim, which means heaven, skies. So break it up. Shamayim. There is water. Right? Samayim. Like the clouds. Sam means to carry. Carries water. Right? Very interesting, by the way, when we talk about names, which in Hebrew means a Shem. Where did I see this from? Oh, Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch says brilliantly, Shem. You know, Adam named everything Shem. He called them names, a Shem. So Shem is related to the word Sham. They're spelled the same. Sham means there. That's it. The name, that's it. Sham, there it is. That's it. That's what Rav Hirsch says is the connection. It defines where it's at, a Shem, in Hebrew. Very good. We're going to say that next week. Please remind me. That encompasses everything that we're supposed to serve Hashem, those three entities. It's a very good question, but I want to say it for next week. Yes? This is all, the world's created with Lashon HaKodesh, the Hebrew language, and this is all Hebrew. In fact, until the Tower of Babel next week, there was no such thing as separate languages. And that's why you'll find many times in Spanish, French, Debbie, you'll have to tell that story after class. Debbie has a fascinating story about a certain expression in Hebrew, Hakol Beseder, everything is well. You'll find many times many words in other languages have a relation to the Hebrew word, because that was the original language. Okay, and Adam also named himself Adam. I'm from ground, and I'm going to, and Hashem said, what am I? He says, you are the master of the world, and therefore the name Ado, and then Nai, right? The master of the world, which it's important to know that with all of man's greatness and intellectual, you know, insight, that he can name the essence of an animal, if he doesn't know who he is and who he has to answer to, it doesn't mean anything. So that's why Hashem will say, okay, you named everything, now who are you? Who am I? Don't forget that.
The whole generation of Noah is speaking.
Yeah, Hebrew, right. That was the original language. Right. Until the Tower of Babel, there was not another language.
You say one word like a gun in Hebrew is a god, and you right. should say destructive, a gun to destroy.
Right. Oh, that's, I don't know if there's a relation. There might be, I don't know.
Why is, I'm just thinking, why is that?
That I don't know.
Rabbi.
Yes. Excuse me? Chava is from the word, that is described in the Torah. Chava is from the word, you know, Chaya, life. She's the mother of all life. It actually, it's discussed why she was not called Chaya. That is a Hebrew name. There is a Hebrew name called Chaya instead of Chava because it's related to, I can't get into it. If you ask me after class, I'll tell you about it. There's a specific reason why she was named Chava, not Chaya. Here's that, okay. Okay. We mentioned there's a verse here, chapter 5. It starts going over the genealogy of the different generations. I'm trying on purpose to pick certain things that we did not do in previous years. There is a verse that says, Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam, this is the book, the Generations of Man, and describes the genealogy. This is chapter 5, verse 1. So from here, the Gesher Chaim learns out that everybody writes their own genealogy, so to speak. Right? Like we have next week's parsha. It says, Noah, these are the generations of Noah, I believe. And then, what does it say? Noah, each tzaddik. Noah was a righteous man. I believe that's what it says. Yeah, here it is. Doesn't seem to make sense. Elah told us Noah. These are the generations of Noah. So you expect him to list the children. Doesn't do that. Noah ish tzaddik. Noah is a righteous man. What? How's that a genealogy? That's the ultimate genealogy of a person. His righteous deeds. That's why Yaakov got so mad at Rachel. Rachel made a statement, give me children. If not, I'm like dead. And I said, no, don't say that. That's not true. You're a tzaddikus. You're a very righteous person. Even without, you know, your genealogy, your offspring are your righteous deeds. So here comes Zeta Sefer told us, Adam, these are genealogy. Everybody writes their own, like, genealogy by their actions that they do every day. They're continually writing their own book. Adam meaning every one of us. Every one of us writes our own book by the actions that we do. Our daily activities are recorded, right? Like it says in Perkei Avos, Pinchas Patuach, the note is open, and Ayad Kutsavis, and the hand is writing. Look at Ethics of Our Fathers. It says, you know, we're continually writing out our lifestyle here. Writing our own, like, little Torah. Very interesting. We have a person here, Chanuch. Chanuch was taken alive to heaven, because he was a perfect tzaddik, and Hashem said, but he has a problem that he'll be influenced by a generation, which shows you how important it is to live in the right environment. Right? So I'm going to take them alive. It's a lesson for us that sometimes what we think is bad may be good. If you realize that there's two worlds, and the next world's eternity, so certain things that happen in this world won't bother you as much. Here, this guy did not live out half his life compared to the other people that lived in that time, 800-900 years. He only lived 365 years, and it was taken. So, he's a perfect tzaddik. If he sticks around, he's going to sin. Right? Let me take them now, give them eternal bliss. It's a tremendous thing. People at the time, I thought it was terrible. He died so young. No. You gotta remember that. How did Chanuch merit eternity? He's one of 9 people to go to Gan Eden alive. Listen to this. Chanuch, did he learn Torah all day? Maybe, probably. But it's not what the Medrash tells us, how he learned, how he got to Gan Eden alive. He was a shoemaker, and with each stitch, he tried to put out the best product possible. He elevated a mundane job into a Kiddush Hashem. He sanctified the name of God by being honest in business. Trying to be a good person, put out a good product, that's all. That merited him to go to Gan Eden alive. Unbelievable. Just a decent... Interesting. Many, many ways to serve God in the world. You know, you need them all. You need them all. Can't learn. You can't do chesed. Be honest. Be a good person. smile, cheer someone up, whatever it is. Many ways to serve Hashem. Can't talk too much about that because Hannah gets upset when I talk too much about Musar. So we'll go on to some more. It says by Noach, by the way, towards the end of the Parsha, Zeh Yenachemenu, this, he will comfort us. The ground was cursed, as you know, after the sin. And it seems that, it's amazing, Medrash. Noach's, until the time of Noach, fingers were not separated. There was like a web-like device, skin between the fingers. Tell me afterwards. I don't want to go into this evolution junk. Anyway, with the birth of Noach, fingers were separated, and farming implements were invented by Noach. And that's what it means. He'll comfort us. Part of that curse was taken away about working the ground. If you remember, you know, the curse of working the ground, there'll be thorns and thistles. What the heck is a thistle?
It's a thorn.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. It's two words I never understood in the Torah, that murmur, and thistles. Okay. Huh? Right. Okay. Okay, guys, what's that? This is a long parsha. Anybody got a question while I look up some here? No, someone asked a question. It's I'll tell you why I'm not saying something about Eve, because number one, in previous years I've talked about the sin in detail. Number two, I am not going to be trapped into any sort of political thing with animals, vegetarians, women, all these, you know, pet things in the political atmosphere today. Anything I can tell you about Eve, you probably wouldn't like it. Because the Torah says very specifically, the Torah, I could say that. Okay, but you just said it. But I'll be glad after class I'll stay for anybody who wants to ask questions. By the way, the first clothes of Adam, this is very interesting. What are the first clothes of Adam? Just to tweak off the animal activist here. You said two, Rashi says there's two interpretations. By the way, it shows a tremendous love HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. Here, they sinned against him. And what's the first thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu does? Okay, they sinned. Now I need to deal with that. And he clothed them. You know, like a loving father. Okay, my children sinned. That's one thing, but now I need to take care of the situation on the level they're at now. They need clothes. So one measure says they were covered like a nail-like garment. Another one, Rashi goes on and says, those furs, skins, bunnies, rabbit. It mentioned specifically our nevet, our rabbit furs. Rabbit furs was, could have been the first thing. That a person wore.
I have a question about this. You said after...
Could have been worse, guys. Could have been minks.
That after they sinned, then they were on a different plane and they had to be clothed. So if you're on a higher plane, you can go around naked.
Right, exactly. There was no contradiction between body and soul. There was no reason to get to dress. If you don't think of any part of the anatomy any more than a nose and an ear, because everything is using strictly for sincere reasons, there's no reason to be embarrassed. Right? There was no contradiction between body and soul. They say they live like in a two-story house. Spiritual world is on the second floor. This is the first floor. No problem. They go back and forth into a pure spiritual arena and back to a physical arena. They go back and forth. No problem. After the sin, body and soul became a contradiction. They realized that certain desires in the body and physicality and materialism, all these things could be used for non-holy purposes, and that's what we're wrestling with ever since. And that there, you got to close your, then you got to close your interest. And the word for clothing in Hebrew is a beged, which is related to the word boged, traitor. Because we were, right? Sometimes also clothes can be a traitor. You know, they deceive what you appear to people by your clothes. You know, you are what you wear, whatever that is. It's not necessarily true, right? There's something to it. Okay. Okay. Everything that Kodesh Baruch Hu, I had something here that I wanted to tell you about, and I lost it here, but everything that Kodesh Baruch Hu does is for our ultimate benefit. Again, like the loving Father watching over us. So here too, when it says, I'm going to wipe out man, right? I'm going to wipe out all living beings, like Pornoch, the end of the Parsha. This word of Hashem, as you know, different words of Hashem represent these different attributes, is the attribute of mercy, the Yud-Heh and Vav-Heh. The attribute of mercy of Hashem says, I got to wipe out, because that's an act of compassion. When it gets so bad, the immorality was so bad, that, in particular, homosexuality got so bad here that they were licensing and made it a norm of society. Man and beast, and you know, even the beast, even the animal kingdom was getting mixed up in these things. Then, it's one thing to sin, but when society condones it as a normal thing, there's nothing wrong with it, that's when a Kadosh Baruch Hu decide to bring the flood, to destroy the world. That's the biggest act of compassion and mercy. You got to start all over again. I'm not going to elaborate how that relates to our time. Anybody with two cells to rub together, you know, can put that together. The other thing is very interesting. It says, the animals I'm going to wipe out too. So Rashi asked the question, what's going on? If man sinned, why does animals have to be wiped out? Very good. Rashi answers his own question. If there's no man, there's no animals. Animals are only here for the sake of man. Now, no one has more laws in the Torah about not having cruelty to animals, you know, and all this sort of thing. But, again, there is a balance. So here it is. Everything in creation is for our purpose to use it. Not abuse it, but to use it. Questions? Yes? Excuse me?
It's
very, very good. That's very good. Yeah, depending on your mental outlook, there's really no death. It's just a transition from this world to the next. But the fear that you're not going to be here, like, I always say Ethics of Our Father sums up the whole thing very well. One moment of doing good deeds in this world is worth more than all the next world, and one moment of the spiritual reward in the next world is worth more than all the pleasures of this world. What makes this world great is that you can do things here. I'm going back to the beginning of the Torah. Bear with me. We're about 5 more minutes. Bereishis Bara Elokim, Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, right? Bereishis means first. The first thing you got to know, right? This is, who says this? Somebody says this. I'm not making this up. This is a Hasidic Rebbe. Moshe Masasov says that the first thing you got to know when you wake up in the morning and keep throughout the day, Rosh Kodavar, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the heavens and the earth. He is your creator. Now, that seems very simplistic, but again, there's a whole book written on these simple concepts. It's called, in English, Path of the Just, Mesilas Yesharim. And Rav Chaim Luzano says, I'm not coming to tell you anything new. These are simple, basic things that everybody knows, but they're so basic that we forget about that they're fundamental issues. This is one of them. The person always focuses that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. In other words, he's running the show. And if I don't understand something, you know, of course I don't understand. I'm mortal and he's not. That's the first thing a person has to lock in his mind. And that's why the Torah opens up with that. If you go with that attitude, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created heaven and earth, and therefore he's running, he's controlling, I don't understand certain events, it ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. When it's all over, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu outside of time, sees everything in totality, then everything will make sense to us as well. It says by Ki Tov, after every day of creation, right? Except for
Monday.
Monday.
The second day.
Right. It does not say Kitay then by the second day. Why? Does anybody know why? It doesn't say Ki Tov on the second day of creation because there was a division of the waters, the upper waters and the lower waters. And when there's machlokes, disunity, dissension, a fight, so to speak, that's not Tov. You can't have Ki Tov, right? But there's a problem. This problem comes from my friend. There's a problem there. On the first day of creation, Yom Rishon, right, it does say Ki Tov, and there was a division there also. Right, you got it? Second day of creation, there was division. Machlokes, and you know, like a division, like a machlokes, how do you translate machlokes, like an argument, whatever, a difference of opinion, a division between upper and lower waters, division, machlokes, can't say Ki Tov. First day of creation, it says Ki Tov, and there was a big division. What was the division on the first day of creation? Right? Between the light and the darkness. Right? So why does it say Ki Tov then? Understand the question? Okay? Okay. So, to answer this, we have a verse in Isaiah, Yeshaya, it says, "V'emstah shalom erhavu," that peace and truth, actually says truth first, truth and peace will love one another. At the end of the day, you know, they'll go together. So, we always learn, you know, what's the most, you know, the Nobel Peace Prize, you know, the greatest accolade for a person is peace. Peace, anything for the sake of peace. We have in ethics of our fathers, Oyev Shalom V'Reidev Shalom. You should love peace and pursue peace, right? But this verse tells us the emes, the shalom. Kodesh Baruch Hu seals emes. That truth has to precede. Truth has to precede peace, right? We want peace at almost any cost, but there's one price we're not willing to pay, and that is that we can never compromise the truth. We cannot chisel away at the Torah. We can't chisel away at halacha. When emes and shalom, when truth and peace come to conflict, our sages tell us, pick emes, pick truth. Because because shalom of a perverted emes, it's just not worth it. It's not the type of emes, it's not the type of shalom we want. Right, it means nothing. You just go along with any, become a politician. The last Mishnah in the Talmud, and this is in Uksin, it says the following. It says, Lo matzah kodesh baruch hu kli matzik bracha ele shalom. Kodesh baruch hu didn't find a vessel as good to hold the blessings of Israel as peace. There's no vessel as good as peace to hold the blessings of Israel. So it's very nice. We always learn that to mean that the greatest thing in the world is peace. That's it. Without that, right, you have no vessel to hold your blessings. Right? We all know that. A person can be rich and have, you know, all the materialistic things and, you know, wife, children, all these things, but if he has no peace in his life, he's always fine. It all means nothing. His life is a misery. Right? Okay, fine. But you have to be very medayic. You got to be very particular about these words. It says a vessel. Shalom is referred to, peace is referred to as a vessel. Right? It has to be receptive. That means it has to hold something. Right? It has to hold something. It's true that that's the vessel you want, but if you compromise emes, truth, you're going to have a vessel with nothing in it. You'll just have a vessel, empty vessel, you hear? So, back to the second day of creation. What was that division? What was that argument, machlokes? It was division of bad and good. It was division of waters. There's upper waters and lower waters. For that reason, not one bad or good. So that was, unfortunately, it was a division that had to be made. So there's no Ki Tov there. You can't say Ki Tov, because it's a division. You hear? But the first day of creation, there was a division, and it does say Ki Tov, because that was a division between light and darkness, between emes and sheker, between truth and falsehood. That's the metaphor of light and darkness, between good and evil. That's a necessary division, a necessary machlokes Ki Tov. That's good. Okay? So we have to, in order to clarify, you know, what is emes, what is sheker, what is truth, what is falsehood, what is light, what is darkness, what is evil, what is not good, that becomes a machlokes that leads to peace. Okay? And that warrants a Ki Tov. bottom line here, sometimes we ask ourselves the question, you know, do we have to always make such a fight about things, especially with some of our brethren who, you know, don't adhere to Torah halacha? I'm talking about not people who are trying to adhere to it, but the Peshitta, you know, their goal is to, like, uproot laws of Torah. Not that they just don't know any better, okay? So, wouldn't it be better to have shalom? Shouldn't we just go along? Wouldn't it be better to have unity? We all know how important unity is, right? You know, why do we always have to start up? Why do we have to make a machlokes, a division, a quarrel with these people? Just make peace. Go along. Isn't that the most valuable thing? So the answer, this is Rob Royer, says the answer is in this verse of Isaiah, by Emes, by Shalom, and Havu, truth and peace will love one another. Right, you gotta love Shalom and pursue Shalom, but make sure truth comes first. You cannot compromise the truth. The seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we open this class up with, the seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes, right? So when it comes to that, we're not allowed to compromise. It comes to your own personal honor, that you can compromise, that you make peace. Emes, seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his Torah, that, you know, we try to do it at Darchei Noyam, in a pleasant way, to explain things, but the bottom line is sometimes we can't budge. And the truth is, in the long run, that it will be the biggest act of peace. Good Shabbos, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.